Hi, it's Dave. Recently, Elon Musk was interviewed by the Mars Society, and he shared his thoughts on when and how SpaceX plans to set up a sustainable civilization on Mars. However, in this video, I'm going to dig a bit deeper and analyze some of the principles that Elon mentioned in his interview and explain why SpaceX and Tesla execute on a whole different level compared to other companies. If you watch this video till the end, you'll find out what truly makes Elon and his companies unique.
Are we going to create a self-sustaining city on Mars before or after World War III? And I think the probability of it being created after World War III, hopefully there's never a World War III, but of after is low. So we should try to make the city self-sustaining before any possible World War III. This is just a risk. This is not, you know, I think sometimes people have difficulty dealing with probabilities to see that this way or that way, but it's really, we just face a series of probabilities. There's some chance that we will have a giant war or a super volcano or, a comet might hit the Earth, or we might just self-extinguish in some, it might be more of a whimper than a bang. And frankly, right now, civilization is not looking super strong. You know, it's just looking a little rickety right now, to be frank.
Here, Elon Musk talks about the need to set up a self-sustaining civilization on Mars. And he talks about World War III as a possibility. Now, I want to look at this example from different angles. So when you talk about World War III, there are two typical responses. One response is, oh, that's completely impossible, right? There's no World War III. We live in a grand era of peace. But the other side is some people will say, oh my gosh, World War III is coming soon. And people will freak out, and that's all they can think about is World War III. However, in the bigger and grand scheme of things, we live in a world where the future is uncertain and unclear, and there are many, many types of possibilities and probabilities. So rather than having a clear thing of World War III is very likely or very unlikely, I think it's a much broader set of scenarios and possibilities. Yes, World War III is one of the possibilities. If you look out in the future, let's say 30, 40, even 50 years, there's actually quite a high likelihood, in my opinion, that we do have a global scale war. Because if there is a global scale war, we now have the technology as humankind to destroy the Earth many times over with nuclear weapons, etc. Because of the power that technology has given military and nations, we now live in a place of existential threat where any global war at scale now threatens the existence of every human on this planet. So now we have this interesting conundrum where technology has now given so much power to humankind where it can actually destroy itself many times over. But now we need to use technology to try to protect ourselves from the very danger that technology presents. And that's where Elon Musk and SpaceX comes in, where Elon is looking out 50, 100, or even several hundred years out in the future and says, hey, there is some existential risk of the humankind, of mankind on Earth. And because of that, that motivates Elon to make an alternative way, a way for mankind to have an alternative existence on another planet like Mars rather than on Earth.
You first have to say what is the goal? And once you have what is the goal, you can then measure the various designs against that goal. Otherwise, you're saying, how are you evaluating? Why is one design better than another? What's your goal? It's got to be a goal. So the goal is get enough tonnage to Mars and enough people to make Mars self-sustaining as quickly as possible. So then you say, okay, let's back out the math on this. We're gonna need a lot of tonnage. Maybe, I don't know, 100,000 tons, maybe a million tons. So you can't be faffing around with these expandable rockets. They're a joke. They're absurd. Even Saturn V is tiny potatoes. We need it, because if you want to get, like, let's say first order approximation, a million tons to the surface of Mars, inclusive of people, that means probably something around 4 or 5 million useful tons of payload into a low Earth orbit. Now, let's put this into perspective. Total global capacity to orbit of all expendable rockets is around 500 or 600 tons, I think. And if you said, okay, the world's gonna end if you do not increase your capacity, perhaps they could do 1,000 tons. That's 1/5,000th of what's needed. Experimental rockets are the absolute, are just utterly stupid, in my opinion. Utterly stupid.
All right, here Elon makes a few interesting comments. The first one is about goals, and he talks about how important it is to have a goal, because without a goal, you can't really evaluate your designs or the solution to your goal if you don't really have a clear goal. So for Elon with SpaceX, his clear goal is to have a self-sustaining civilization on Mars. But in order to do so, he has calculated he needs maybe to send 1 million tons of payload to the surface of Mars. And in order to do that, he needs to get actually 5 million tons of payload into Earth's orbit in order to actually get 1 million tons to finally get to Mars. And when he looks at the landscape of actually expendable rockets, there's no way, right, that expendable rockets can have even a chance at that, because the total global capacity of expendable rockets to send cargo into space is about 500 to 600 tons. So in Elon's view, when he looks at it like the goal is to have a self-sustaining civilization on Mars, he knows we are super far behind. And this becomes the forcing function. This becomes the goal and the motivation to speed up innovation. It's not about the competition, because competition is way far behind. Rather, Elon has this existential kind of nervousness about society and humanity. And he uses that as motivation to rally his troops, right, to build faster, to build better, and to find a solution to have an alternative civilization, right, on another planet. Elon Musk uses goals very similarly in all of his companies. He tries to get a broad goal, a very visionary goal, a very important goal. For example, with Tesla, he wants to speed up the world's transition to sustainable energy because the Earth is in a very precarious place. So he uses that goal to rally his troops to innovate faster, to think better, and to think of outside of the box solutions. And for Elon, that's why the competitors aren't the main motivation, right, for Tesla to innovate faster. Rather, it's their mission and it's the goal that they need to press forward and quicker to.
You know, what would you say is your methodology that allows you to innovate so swiftly?
I don't really know. We're focused on, like I said, it is important to have the objective be right. That's why I was talking so much about the importance of making wealth Mars a self-sustaining, building a self-sustaining city on Mars. If that's the objective, then obviously, you know, just putting some satellites in orbit or that's not important. You have to achieve full and rapid reusability. I emphasize full and rapid. Reusability is only relevant to the degree it's rapid and complete. And then you also have to do orbital refilling. This is essential as well. And then propellant production on Mars, also essential. That creates, I think, a good forcing function for radical innovation, because in the absence of radical innovation, we have no chance of meeting that goal. Whereas if our goal was simply defeat Lockheed and Boeing or something like that, if our goal was simply we're going to have be the leaders in launching the conventional satellites that exist, we would probably approach that on a sort of a logarithmic basis, where you know you'd get there and you'd sort of slowly make progress towards doing 10 launches a year, 12 launches a year, while they do 6 or something like that. But if, since the goal is, hey, we need to make life multiplanetary before it's too late, and time really matters, so we're shooting for Mars, not just the moon. So let's shoot for the moon, shoot for Mars. And then these competitive things are kind of small things along the way. Unless somebody else is shooting for Mars, they will not be competitive with something as pedestrian as launching a few satellites into Earth orbit.
All right, here Elon Musk shares how SpaceX, but also his other companies, are able to innovate so quickly. At first, his reaction is like, I'm not sure, but then he gives some very important principles. First, he says the objective is crucial. If SpaceX's objective was just to beat out Boeing or Airbus, then their rate of innovation wouldn't be that quick. In other words, they would have a kind of a low goal, and then once they reach that goal, they would kind of kick back. However, for SpaceX, their objective and goal is on a completely different level. Rather than wanting to just compete with Boeing, they're wanting to set up a complete self-sustaining civilization on Mars. That's going to require like 1 million tons of payload. And in order to do that, they can't operate kind of on a normal pace of innovation. Rather, they have to radically improve how fast they're moving and how quickly they're innovating. If their eyes are focused on Boeing, they're going to miss the mark, because Boeing is moving too slow, and just moving a little faster than Boeing is not going to cut the objective that SpaceX has. In a similar way, Elon Musk has set up a very similar kind of approach with Tesla. Rather than saying our competitors are Audi or Porsche or Toyota or Honda, Elon Musk doesn't mention competitors very much. And his goal and his focus is not on beating competitors. Rather, Elon's mission with Tesla is to save the planet, is to speed up the transition to sustainable energy before it's too late. And because of that existential threat and that huge ambition of Tesla, that's what drives the fast innovation, right? It doesn't matter how fast these other companies are innovating because they're not innovating fast enough. Tesla wants to push the envelope and innovate quicker and faster, not just because they want to beat the competition, but rather they have a much grander and bigger ambition at stake. And this leads to this final question that I'll kind of wrap up this video with is there another entrepreneur that has as big and as grand ambitions as Elon Musk? In other words, rather than just focusing on trying to beat the competition or establishing, right, a very successful company, Elon Musk is setting his sights on much more significant, right, and historical objective and goals. And what also makes Elon Musk unique is that he's not just operating with one company. Rather, he's doing Earth, right, terrestrial activities with Tesla, and then he's doing space and Mars with SpaceX. And now he's actually doing AI, right? Combating the risks and existential risks presented by possible AI through his company, Neuralink. And not to exclude his company, Boring Company, which is helping to improve the quality of life, especially for people in urban settings. As a long-term investor in Tesla, this is part of my thesis. I view Elon Musk as a unique character, as a generational CEO and founder, someone that is not easy to come across very easily. Not only does he have grand ambitions, but he also combines it with the execution, with the know-how of how to have a forcing function to improve and to quickly innovate over time. And on top of that, he brings together some common sense and some deep understanding of what people want in the products that they buy. All right, I want to hear from you guys. What other founders and CEOs out there are you impressed by their grand ambitions and their ability to innovate quickly and to execute at a world-class level? Please share in the comment section below. If this video has been helpful, please like it and consider subscribing to my channel. We're looking at investment topics through different angles. We're trying to probe and question and get beneath the surface of things. I'm on Twitter at HeyDave7. Also, each of my video episodes are also on an audio podcast that you can find on your favorite podcast player. Just type in Dave Lee on investing. We'll see you in my next video. Thanks.